Good morning and welcome to the KGNC Golden Spread Agribusiness News Hour. Today, it's all about Texas corn. I've got the executive director of the Texas Corn Producers, David Gibson, joining me this morning. Good morning, Mr. Gibson. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, David.
Good deal. You're out traveling. You're out and about. It's been a busy week already for you. More busy as we come along. We're going to talk about some issues later on at the end of this month or throughout this month of some changes in Washington. But the WASDE report came out this week, and want to look at where the import-export, the amount is going on there. What did you gather from this go-around report?
James, this report, kind of like a lot of December's, doesn't have a lot of surprises in it. Actually, it pretty much left corn numbers alone on the domestic side. Whenever we look at this month, last month, and stuff, as we look at world numbers, we maybe got just a hair more corn in, on supply in the world, but it doesn't appear it's going to be a big, should be a big market mover in any direction. The thing that was still good to see in it being maintained was the projected harvest price at around $450 for this next or around $550 for next year. So, you know, that's a positive when we're looking at the input prices and things we're looking now. But, you know, always kind of in these reports, it seems like January comes out and sometimes maybe December between Thanksgiving and moving into Christmas, some of the work kind of gets backlogged, and then it all shows up in January with a surprise. So we'll take this report and feel good about it right now. We didn't see any big negatives in it for our growers, but we'll see what comes out for next year starting in those January reports.
Yeah, and it seems like the European Union and some of those countries, Australia's for one, kind of picked up their totals, their amount of wheat they're putting out. Is that going to affect adversely corn here in this country?
It won't affect corn so much, David. You know, we're still looking at China with good demand for our corn, and so the wheat numbers and stuff aren't going to impact us just a whole lot. I think it looked like it impacted wheat markets there on the short term, but we'll see what all happens there. But kind of like I said, this December report sometimes comes out and, it seems like it kind of always comes out with numbers that are easy to predict, but that January one's the one for all crops that we'll really be watching to see as we start moving into next year.
One of the big things that's a top story here in the homeland here in the Panhandle, we're almost about 60 days without any calculated moisture, any significant moisture. As those farmers make that turn, getting ready to get about on those fields and get them prepared, is that a high hurdle for these guys to jump as we start out a new season?
Well, as we are preparing to move into 2022, and you're talking 60 days without measurable moisture, and I think we're more like about 180 days without what we would consider a real beneficial moisture.
Yeah.
So it's certainly weighing on our minds as we're entering the upcoming crop year. It's weighing on us on whether to how much we'll potentially have to pre-water in order to build up our soil profiles and stuff. So, yeah, it could very rapidly as we move into January and early February as we really make our planting intentions on for our farms. That dry weather is going to potentially impact exactly what we do out there.
Mm-hmm. Day by day. Last week we held, of course, the Farm and Ranch Show 2021 here in Amarillo, and the sense and the words David's in an airport in Austin, so we got to wave him aside and yap it out of his head and tell us what plane he's going to get on today. Hopefully, he'll get back to the panhandle by Saturday or so.
hopefully, we'll get in on time, but you never know nowadays flying, David. Yeah, sorry about that.
No, you're quite all right. Well, the kind of general consensus I got from some of those folks that were in the marketplace and the producers out there, the thing that keeps flagging us down. Input costs are high. We understand that, but it's about availability for those guys now. The availability of herbicides, fertilizers, equipment even is becoming an issue. Getting the equipment, everything mechanical now has a chip in it, and it's really making things difficult to do. Are you hearing anything from the fields about the hardships they're facing with that kind of issue?
Yeah, exactly. Input prices are on the rise. The supply is not there. Our growers in Central Texas are right in the middle of fertilizer applications right now. And, they've got suppliers telling them, yeah, we'll have it, but they're waiting. Instead of waiting hours on it to show up, they're waiting days. And that's going to potentially be a big concern as we do land preparation and apply our fertilizers for this next year. Our inputs for weed control are going to be much the same. Just our all the products are just tied up somewhere in the supply. And as you said, some of them I know had looked at purchasing some new tractors or combines for this next year, and they said, you make an order it now, and we'll deliver it in late 22 or early 23. whether that's all due to the chips or the steel and aluminum, or just the fact that we're really short on workers in a lot of our factories and our shipping areas. So it's certainly a problem in all phases out on our farm.
We'll have more with David Gibson from the Texas Corn Producers on the KGNC Golden Spread Agribusiness News Hour.